So Vice Taking L's IRL is a new segment feature, which I'm going to do as long as Vice keeps doing these goddamn panels where they have like five leftists who are retarded and one right winger on, and the right winger just mops the floor with them every time.
It's amazing that they always outnumber the right winger, and the right winger always wins. And it's not just like, I'm right wing, therefore I think they win. It's quite often quite resounding, isn't it? Even to someone who doesn't know anything about
the comment
politics.
Section, the like dislikes, the fact that the people who are the leftists keep whining afterwards on their Instagrams about, why did they go on this anyway? I was like, yeah, because you lost. That's why you won. But getting back to when Vice actually did something good. So this is a video I made a while back, which happens to focus around a Vice documentary back when they were interesting. And this is when they were documenting that, yeah, Antifa were a bunch of far-left terrorists, openly. This was Vice's narrative.
I mean, gotta pinch myself to believe that's real now, looking at it from the modern day.
I mean, these guys here, I think it was a Red Front in Sweden, and they're just like, yes, we need to beat people into submission. And it's like, yeah, thank you, terrorist. And the point in this video is, and people should go watch it, is how Antifa could have been stopped 4 years ago, in which the British Transport Police just arrested them all in England, and the movement died overnight.
I like it how this supposedly edgy left-wing, far-left movement that see themselves as some form of revolutionary were taken down by the transport police. Yeah. Effectively, are just like, tickets, please.
I know, they actually did a really good sting.
Yeah, so no, I know about it. It is impressive, but it's just funny from a superficial perspective. Just like, yes, we're all these tough, mean terrorists, but also,
don't mess with the mall cops. But go and check out the video. Otherwise, we'll get into Vice taking more L's IRL, because they decided to do these things. I mean, we've mentioned before the Sydney Watson Pearl one, which Pearl and Sydney just were like, are you all actually dumb? And the same thing happened again, in which this chap here, Vince, at the back there, Vince Dow.
You can tell the right winger from the fact that he's actually dressed well.
Yeah, I mean, there are some other people in here who are neutral and interesting. I mean, there's a lady on the far right there who's from Taiwan. And also another man on the far right who's Hindu.
Uh-oh, are you Chinese by any chance?
I don't know if they did that on purpose, but they both just are like, I don't believe any of this communist nonsense, and that triggers them. But Vince is the one who's mainly doing the pushback of, like, here's why it's nonsense. So we're going to enjoy this. If you scroll down, we can notice, firstly, 41% dislikes. Good job. And the question posed is, what does it mean to be Asian in America? From hate crimes to model minority myths to affirmative action, a politically divisive panel hashes out the most controversial issues facing the AAPI community today.
Appy.
You're not
appy.
The appy community. Well, they're not very appy because they got problems.
That's proper Four Lions accent there, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, I gotta wonder, like, what do the Mongolians actually have in common with the Pacific Islanders?
I don't know. Certainly not a lot genetically, from what I know.
Zero in common. Mongolians don't even know what water is.
Oh. That's not very nice.
Well, they don't know what seawater is.
To be fair, the Mongols did have a religious law against bathing. So they basically waited for their clothes to rot off of them.
There's also the whole idea of, like, Asia. How do you define that? Because, of course, in this, they just include all of India, which is like, that's a very different place.
It's an entire subcontinent.
Yeah. And then they include Persia and the Middle East. And it's like,
yes.
Yeah, that's the same as Japan.
Notable Asian country, Persia, otherwise known as, I imagine, Iran.
But this whole thing is dumb. So the whole acronym's dumb. They start off with talking about that, but it's not very interesting because, of course, the leftists are just like, I like the term because it unionizes us. And the right-wingers are like, it's retarded because it means nothing. So save you 10 minutes. But we'll go forward because we'll start off with just the term Asian American with the first clip.
I personally just describe myself as American. Mm-hmm. I find, like Vince said, you know, the hyphenated American thing, I think it's by definition divisive when you're dividing the identity. I prefer to call myself American. I don't call myself Indian American, Asian American, though when people ask, like, oh, well, what are you? I'll say, well, I'm of Indian heritage, but I was born in Brooklyn.
Yes, sir.
I proudly identify as Asian American. I also, like, my experience, my mom is from Japan. She immigrated to America. So I do truly feel that I am a part of the Asian American experience where, you know, at home,
trademark,
it's a Japanese household. It's a Japanese culture because I was predominantly also raised by my mom, too. And then also we happen to live in America. And I think there is a very unique perspective in that. As well as I'm a proud Asian American, I'm a proud Black American, too. I'm a proud biracial American. And I think there is definitely also a need for us to be able to say Asian American, especially because we are often seen as not American or not American enough. But then you go back to Asia and they're like, oh, you're so American. So it's just like, well, who am I?
Yeah, did you wonder why? You have one man here who's like, nah, it's dumb. I'm American as they come.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as, the whole society moves on. The whole tribe moves on. He's part of the tribe. Simple as. And then you have lady in the back who's like, oh, I'm an Asian American. I'm a black American. I'm Japanese. I'm blah, 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 blah. And yeah, I don't seem to fit in anywhere.
Because yeah, you're setting up all of these categories rather than just admitting. I mean,
you're a dirty Yankee.
You sound like an American to me. Yeah. But yeah, I also found it funny that she was just like the Asian American experience. Like it's some sort of product. It's like
it's Disney World.
It's the new ride.
You ride through and they're just like, no, I can't do the common thing. Tunnel of slurs. Anyway, her dad's Nigerian, I believe, looking at her Instagram. But we'll get back to these leftists and their private lives because it's incredibly telling when you get into it. But we'll start off with the next clip, which is where he/him joins the chat.
Ziad, I use he/him pronouns, and I am Bangladeshi American, and I'm Asian American. When I look at this country, I think it is so damaging, right? So saddening that sometimes this country makes us choose.
Choose between being an American and being like, I'm going to be Asian.
That's also weird because he's saying this country makes me choose. It's like, you have the country, the land itself made me.
No. Members of the American Defense League turn up and go, what's that rice cooker doing here? Like, we don't cook rice like that. Put it in a bag. Anyway,
I mean, if you care so much, why don't you just have enough agency to be like, this is what I am. So what? Yeah. At least have a smidgen of respect for people who are just unapologetic, just like, yeah, I'm going to be myself.
I'm not going to bother with much of him because I think you get what we're going to get out of him from the he/him. So we'll go on to the next question, which is about assimilation. Let's play that.
Assimilation. Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it a burden? Is it an opportunity?
Assimilation, I think I would define that as, in part, I think necessary to an extent because we are forced to in order to navigate this country. So I would say learning the language, you know, learning how to like properly behave, for example, that's in part kind of assimilation, making sure that you are
in line.
kosher in this society. And I think in part that means survival.
I think assimilation is not just a great thing, it's a necessary thing.
Huh.
No society can hold together where people have nothing in common, they don't speak the same language, they don't practice the same things. And, you know, you may look at something like just food habits or what you eat and think that's fairly frivolous. But the truth of the matter is that on a broader level, when we're talking about more big picture things, differences in race, culture, religion, all these things, people have fought wars, violent wars, killed each other over these things for thousands of years. If America is to hold together, assimilation, not just good or bad, necessary. I don't think it's going to be possible for America to survive as a stable, functioning society if people don't, to some degree, say, well, here's what we're going to commonly agree upon.
I mean, I'm not a religious man, but the Tower of Babel in the Bible kind of highlights the point that if you have lots of people speaking lots of different languages, you can no longer exist as a society.
Why do we not have a European army yet, despite all the pushing for it in the EU? Because every time they think about it, they're just like, oh, screw this. Because how do you make that many people try and become a cohesive whole? It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you just have to have the different divisions, have them run by their own people who can all speak English, and report to the Americans in NATO, because the European army idea just doesn't work, even on the base of it. But Vance, though, obviously speaking absolute facts, I don't know what the opposition point even could be, which is that we shouldn't do assimilation. Instead, we should just have loads of foreign people living next to each other, not being able to speak to each other, having nothing in common, and yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, that's never gone wrong in history, has it?
This was just an insane idea. It was just like, okay, no, you're going to get breakaway states from each other in the little ghettos. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, secession isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I think it's not going to be along those sorts of racial lines.
No, but if we import huge amounts of Canadians into Alaska, why would Alaska want to stay with the United States? Pretty soon it's going to move to Canada. Put loads of Russians in Alaska again. What do you think is going to happen? Like, this isn't a shock. This isn't a surprise. There's like a natural law of migration, but whatever. So Vance also obviously speaking facts, so what was the response? Well, they all discovered he wasn't mentally ill and decided to freak out. So let's play that.
Who gets to choose it?
The majority culture, I suppose.
And what's
the
majority culture?
The people with power.
And who's people with power?
Who's people with power?
Stop.
White people.
Well, I don't know if that's.
I'm gonna say it. Yeah. White people. It's okay.
I don't know if that's necessarily so true. I mean,
wait, can you unpack? Look at, yeah.
Let's elaborate. I don't think a particularly white quote unquote interest controls things like
in America
pop culture.
Do you believe white supremacy exists?
I think there are people who believe in it, and I think there's people who all believe that their race is superior.
So you don't believe in white supremacy?
Do you believe America is a white supremacist state?
No, not at all.
And not found
no white supremacist state would even like allow us to be doing this. Like I don't understand. It's a white supremacist. There's just KKK people walking. I go around New York City. I notice that, like, I guess Brooklyn a little bit different. Most of the people here are not white, and they're doing their thing. So I don't understand.
What does doing their thing mean to you?
Going to work.
Are they making the same amount of money?
What? Okay, yeah, he him is an idiot. Just like, well, is there communism?
Mm.
No, there's not communism.
If there's not perfect equity, there must be white supremacy.
Yeah, if we don't live under communism. This is South Africa under apartheid. I'm so oppressed. But back to the main point there, which is before they decided to just start saying buzzwords. Vance is like, you know what we should do? Integrate. And they're like, yeah, but who's going to decide what we integrate into? Well, the majority culture. And then they get all pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
What on earth do you expect? Who else is going to decide what the culture is of the country other than majority culture?
I mean, it's like, not like people just sit in a room and just like, well, what culture should we have this year?
No, but like the idea that the Council of Mongolians is deciding what the American culture is. And if you don't fit into what the Council of Mongolians believe, then well, you clearly aren't integrating enough.
You don't have enough horse archers.
Yeah, but it's like, no, funnily enough, it is the majority culture. And the idea that this is something new or strange, it's like, this is the most bedrock, dumbass thing anyone learns about foreign
also,
culture.
Also, the argument about, are they paid the same, is really shooting yourself in the foot, because don't Asian Americans out-earn the average American?
But just the idea of, like, who else is going to decide what American culture is other than the Americans? And she's there assuming, like, yeah, but that's white people? I'm going to say something bad in a minute. So we'll move to the leftist blocko text that Vance has to deal with. I've skipped through some of it because I wanted to kill myself listening to it. So let's play that.
Our communities and communities that are leading culture, to your point, because you point to popular culture as something where, in your view, white people don't have the power, when the reality is it is the white executives who are profiting off of and exploiting predominantly black and brown bodies. Women of color, and it is black folks, and it is Asian American folks, and it is Hispanic folks, and it is people from marginalized communities. Based on race, based on class, based on gender.
Well, nobody denies that there's disparities or that.
Yeah, okay, very
she's
serious.
She's really
people.
Annoying.
Yeah, she's got a TikTok account. That's the whole reason she's here.
A TikTok account?
Yeah.
She's selling mints.
They're good mints. No, they're not good mints. She's really unfunny. I watched some of her TikTok. They're awful.
I never would have guessed from what I've seen.
We'll move to the next clip, in which this is the most interesting point I heard from Vance, and it's really true, and something I'm trying to hit on but I haven't been able to voice. He does it quite well. The real question is it a white conservative interest actually what's running the United States?
Well, of course not.
Yeah, it's demonstrable, but this is the thing in the minds of left wingers. But even if you get rid of like the white part, it's like, are the conservatives' viewpoint, is that ideology is what runs the United States?
Yeah.
Culturally?
All those conservatives really hated Donald Trump and basically purged him from the entire society.
But just like, what's running the place? But we'll play his argument, see what people think.
The question is, do they exist because of supposed white supremacy? And when I look at the fact that, you know, virtually every corporation institution bends the knee to diversity, celebrates every single Heritage Month, you know, has all these programs, every single one toe the line for Black Lives Matter. I don't look at that.
What is toe the line?
I don't look at that and say conservative white people are in power in this country. As a matter of fact, I'd argue to a large extent, you can talk about, you know, what race or whatever people are, but is like a supposedly conservative white interest in power in America? I would honestly say I think it's the opposite of
That's fair enough. I think he's right.
It's a really interesting point in my mind. I haven't been able to get through that. Because like the Islamic theocracy is what runs Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Culturally, politically, like, there's no question about that. And, okay, Chinese communism. Well, obviously runs China. That's culturally, whatever, if you want to praise something, Chinese communism is the safe bet for any corporation or individual. Russian nationalism runs Russia at this point. I mean, you want to praise Russia and talk about how great Russia is. I mean, that's the de facto normie thing to do. Well, in which case, what really runs the United States?
Neoliberalism. Globalism.
Intersectional religion.
Okay.
The idea that you endlessly whine about diversity and inclusion. Every corporation does it. Every corporation pays their dues. They're not paying dues to neoliberals. Like, they're paying dues to this religious ideology of intersectionality constantly.
I would argue that they, lots of them have this veneer, but I think in the actual attitudes, they're more neoliberal, particularly the people who run the institutions. You've got people like Biden who... He panders to progressives, but I think...
Well, he literally makes the decision on intersectional lines. I mean, who's his VP? Why was she put there? He told us. She's a diversity hire.
Mm-hmm.
She's a woman and she's brown. That was the only reason he picked her. The first Supreme Court pick he ever made. Again, on religious rounds. It was like, well, she's a black woman. I don't care if she's good.
Mm.
He didn't say he wanted a good Supreme Court justice. He wanted a black woman. Like, the actual things they do as well are, sincerely, religious beliefs that they carry out. And it's not meaningless.
I don't know. I'm not entirely convinced. I think that it's a lot of pandering. And a lot of the, particularly the older politicians, your Pelosi's and your Biden's, they're still loyal to the neoliberal ideas, even if they...
Well, then why did he pick the Supreme Court justice on religious grounds?
Well, he's pandering to a voting.
It's not pandering. That's a really powerful move. Like, a Supreme Court justice is not a small thing to pick.
I mean, they're not instituting socialism to the level in which actual progressives want, are they? They're
sure, but that's not the point. The point is about intersectional religion. And like, he actually made that decision. It's a powerful choice. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful position. You only get to make like maybe three of those, if you're lucky, as president. And he went with that one.
Well, I mean, his actions are certainly progressive, but I just doubt that they're entirely sincere, is all.
Well, I mean, even if it's held deeply in his heart that he hates this stuff, he's doing it day in, day
out.
Well,
I'm not saying that he hates it. He's probably sympathetic, but...
Yeah. But we'll go on to the next one, because they then go on to the minority, model minority myth. Yeah, let's play.
The model minority myth. When you hear that word, what does it mean to you?
So the model minority myth, you know, after World War II, they used us to separate other people of color. They used our race to say that we were the best race, that we were the model minority because we were the smartest, we got the best jobs, we did these things, and we were able to assimilate.
Yeah, this guy doesn't know anything about history. Yeah, funnily enough, the Asians still not really drawn very well in American cartoons after the Second World War. It's not until like the 70s, 80s that you start seeing like Asians being pointed at as like, hey, they seem to be doing well.
I'm pretty sure that war with Japan didn't do much for your reputation.
Sure, but he's talking after the war. Mm-hmm. But the point is, like, he's just missing decades there. In which, no. Like, it wasn't all of a sudden like, you know those Japs? Hard-working folks. Like,
That's what I mean, yeah.
It wasn't until the Japanese economy boomed like hell that people were like, God damn, they seem to be doing good. And then when they came to the United States, we're doing good there as well. We're just better culture than what they had before the war. It's just like something that was built up over decades. Not all of a sudden, but whatever. Also, the idea that it's a myth, that there aren't model minorities.
I think that the whole idea of a model minority is just something that is created by leftists. You don't actually hear right-wingers saying...
No, it's true. It's like, well, there are there minorities who are different to each other?
Well, of course, yeah.
Okay, so some of them are going to be better than others in terms of income, in terms of education. So the one at the top is the model.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, this isn't a complex thing, and the idea that, oh, that's a myth. It's like, no, we've got the data. Like in the UK, I mean, we can compare between racial groups so you don't feel upset, leftists.
I mean, there will obviously be a difference between someone from, say, South Korea or Somalia. I mean, they're wildly different countries.
Yeah, but we don't even need to do anything like that. Like, we can just do between, like, European nations. I mean, we in England have got the data from the race report or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
Where they went by ethnicity and just showed different ethnic groups what they're earning. Like, they're within the same race. Education, wildly different. Productivity, wildly different.
It's almost like it's all about culture, isn't it? It's funny that.
Yeah, the racial aspect, not important, but whatever. I don't know how stupid you have to think like all ethnic groups are the same. There's a lady that does argue, though, that if you demand that ethnic groups don't commit crimes, then you are engaging in ethnic erasure. That's blatant. What?
Statistically, it is true that Asians, right, on average, make more money, like in terms of medium, make more money, better test scores, get into better colleges, all that stuff. I think the question is, why is that? And I don't know, model minority, whatever that label wants
that's
to mean.
That's actually a myth because we cannot be...
Well, let me finish my point.
It's a myth.
We need to observe what makes people successful and unsuccessful. And I think when you look at trends that are generally true in the Asian community, not of everyone, but are generally true, usually you have families that are sticking together. You have, people are taught to work hard in school, not get into trouble. I think that translates to why Asians en masse are successful. And I don't think you have to be Asian or white for that matter to not have kids out of wedlock, not, you know, commit crime, not cause trouble,
whatever it is.
It's just a matter of like, well, common sense, that's what makes people successful. And if that's so-called assimilation, having a nuclear family, buying a house, going to school, whatever it is, then yeah, okay, call me a pro-assimilation then.
I think there's a difference between assimilation and erasure.
Yes.
Shoot me.
If you want to perfectly preserve your culture, why are you moving to another country then? Like, if
it's but also like, the idea that that lady there is like, well, my culture is stealing things. I was like, what? Like, he just said, you know, you don't have to be Asian to not steal things. And she's like, well, that's ethnic erasure, actually. Whose culture is stealing things? Are you really going to sit there and make that your argument? That's I want her to answer it. She's the one defending it. It's like, whether you're doing ethnic erasure against people like me. And it's just like, what are you talking about? And the other two in the front who are very pissed off about that. It's like, okay, actual madness. But if you wondered how just dumb these people are and why I'm not even spending the time to go through their arguments, because let's play one of their arguments. And just realize these people don't know anything at all, even about where they live. Let's play.
The more in common that a society has with one another, the more likely they are to work together and build things
okay,
in society.
I hear
and
you.
Not constantly be fighting each other and at odds with each other.
Did you think the Japanese internment was a good thing? Because that was a real assimilation situation. You know what I mean?
No, I don't recognize
that the term assimilation has negative history and facts associated with that word. So we do have to be careful in how we choose. Because assimilation for people of color have not been good to us historically. That's factual. So let me ask you.
We're discussing the model minority.
No, but
the
Japanese internment is a classic example of assimilating Asian Americans.
No, it's not. It's a classic example of internment. I mean, they intern people.
Why did they intern them? Because they saw them as other. Because they saw them as dangerous.
Not really. Yes, they saw them as dangerous because, and I don't agree with it, but left-wing president FDR at the time saw it as a national security
risk. So you're a Republican, right? You're right-wing, right?
Of course. I want to make sure that
internment camps are assimilation programs.
Oh yeah.
No, they're segregation programs. So where they segregate out of the population. These people don't know anything.
Even the false equivalence between just culturally assimilating naturally and forced internment as well.
Yeah.
It's the only form of assimilation there is. Forced internment. There's no other alternatives.
Actual morons. I can't get over how dumb that is. And they're all sat there going, yeah, you tell it, sister. And I was like, shut up, you losers.
I still can't get over the fact that he was just saying that having an intact family and a good work ethic. And they're like,
that's not just an Asian thing. And they're like, how dare you say that? What?
It's like the most normal, ordinary things to say. It's so uncontroversial. And the weirdos are just like taken aback. I mean, it didn't seem particularly genuine. Like the whole just like, but then looking side to side with your mouth open, just look at me, I'm
over there, zigzag. He genuinely is that shocked. His background is that he's a really rich early 20 guy who has just goes from like Spotify to Microsoft like meetings at their headquarters because he runs a company that specializes in whining. It's called,
he's good at his work.
JUV Consulting. He's the CEO. Him and all his friends, the entire consulting firm is just, you don't know how to reach Gen Z like we do. So come and hire us and we'll teach you how to reach Gen Z with their eyes closed because they're all smug.
I really hate people who are just like, yes, you don't know what you're doing, but we do.
It's crap. It's actual horrible. Like now I'm looking through his stuff and I'm just like, I would never want to be stuck in a room with you. You look unbearable. And that's why I think he's sincere in his shock. He's never met someone who disagrees, ever. We'll go forward. We'll go to the Taiwan lady who just is not eating commie BS today.
It's the only country where a homeless person can be a millionaire the next day. So based on capitalism, we all have an opportunity. And we should not use race as a factor in either getting ahead or depriving ourselves of opportunities.
I have a question directly related to the fact that you live in New York, right?
Yeah.
And you're an Asian woman. There have been significant high crimes towards Asian women that were all over the news. Did that affect you? And what were your thoughts on that?
The government is telling us that it's Asian hate, but that's not the real issue. The real issue is actually that these people were mentally ill and they were let out.
Were both
can be the issue, right?
Yeah,
it can simultaneously exist as issues.
You can't say that it's Asian hate and use that as propaganda.
Propaganda?
I feel like also to just say that these people are mentally ill is a kind of an ableist argument too, because there's plenty of people who are mentally ill who are not going out and killing like Asian people on the street.
Yeah, because of course people think that someone who's schizophrenic and hearing voices that tell them to stab people is equivalent to someone who doesn't have working legs.
You can't call them mentally ill though, Josh, because that's ableism.
But
the local murderer who killed someone because he's mentally ill, can't call him that because that's ableism. Yeah.
His voices are real, all right?
But also the lady in the front, purple hair, who's just like, well, couldn't it be Asian hate? And the lady from Taiwan's like, but it ain't. What do you want? It's not the case. Lunatic. Let's go to the next one here, because then they start asking who commits those crimes.
Ooh. All these attacks that you're seeing the videos of in San Francisco, New York City, newsflash, they're not being prosecuted as hate crimes. So the more correct way to look at it is, what is the primary perpetrator of violence against Asians overall, right? Because if we talk about these videos, we have to count them in the statistics, and we're not doing that. And when we do that, we find, well, I'll tell you this, the plurality top perpetrator of violence against Asians, number one, is not happening in rural America, and number two, is not being done by white people.
So is it black people that are doing it? Like, is it the black and brown people that are doing it?
No, that's exactly
just inherently violent. Like,
I didn't say that. All I said
beat
was,
around it. Just say it.
If it's not white people or Asian people,
all I said, I didn't say anything about inherently violent. All I said is that if it's
now you did.
If it's
no one accused you of that, and now you did.
If it's a white,
so like your bias is slipping out there.
It's clear you want to say it. You should just say it.
Can anyone let me talk here?
When it comes to Asian hate, the perpetrator is not a white supremacist anymore.
Correct. That's all I'm saying.
So that's the problem. Like, we don't want to blame one race for violence when that's actually not true.
Is it white people? Is it white people?
It is white people.
Are these attacks happening in
rural? It is white people. I literally looked up statistics.
You do not have to be white to perpetuate white supremacy. No one's saying it's not hard to govern a heterogeneous society.
Sorry, we're not going to listen to Zigzag because he's more commie gibberish.
It's just a cut.
Yeah, but the whole point there is like, oh, who is it? Well, it isn't white people. And then you got purple hair doesn't know anything. He's like, oh, it is, trust me. You don't know what internment camp is. You think it's a holiday camp where we teach them how to interact with white people or something. God damn it. And Vince as well, like, they then start accusing him of saying that black people were inherently violent. Like, he wasn't the one who brought that up. It was the black woman who said that. So, touching that with a five-foot pole.
It's amazing how a man can cite government statistics and they freak out like he's just... Yeah. Set a cat amongst the pigeons.
What was funny though is like he's skirting around it where he's just like, well, it isn't white people, and you can see all of them, like the guy next to him, the gym bro, he's also a leftist. They're all sat there going, oh, he's gonna say it. Everyone in America knows. Everyone in America knows that this isn't a white supremacist problem. They know exactly what the data says. Nobody wants to say it. I mean, like, you're a really weird country, my Yankee friends. You live like this. It's unusual. This isn't normal.
But I was rather excited. I could see him teeing it up, and I was just like, I know what's coming.
But it's just it's a weird political correct thing. Like, most of the rest of the world doesn't have this kind of political correctness. It is the West, and we need to admit that that's a unique aspect of that place. We'll end off with clip 12, which is just the Jannies start interrupting the leftists when they start defining what whiteness is. Let's play that.
Instead of aligning ourselves with the black community who've been fighting for racial justice and liberation, right, and acknowledging our own privilege and putting our bodies on the line to fight for these movements, instead we banked on white adjacency, and here we are still being pushed.
Yes.
First of all, what exactly is white adjacency? Is it working hard, having families?
I don't
understand what the issue is. But then number two, wait, let me finish my point.
I think
it is gaslighting when, again, the majority of violent attacks against Asians are not being perpetrated by white people to blame white supremacy.
White supremacy as a construct is this idea, like, that the norm of American is whiteness.
Yes.
That whiteness is the default.
Standard.
That whiteness is the standard that we all ought to aspire to. And we deviate from that.
It's not just talking about KKK.
Yeah.
It's not talking about lynchings. It's about a mentality that we have absorbed.
I'm gonna interrupt for a second.
Yeah, interrupt. But what is whiteness? That's the question you got to ask. And Vince was getting at it, and the goddamn Jannie interrupted. Because the point, what is whiteness? Well, it's English manners, the nuclear family, and a Protestant work ethic. Things that aren't from, you know, Spain or Italy. They're all from England, because of course the United States, which is an Anglo country, so there's no surprise that's the cultural norm that Vince is hitting on. And it's a shame that he was interrupted, because that's really the nub of the issue. And he was right to bring it up. They then go on. The Hindu bro just says that Stop Asian Hate is a complete scam, like BLM. They all freak out. And then they decide to talk about Kamala Harris, in which the leftists are trying to say she's not a diversity token. And then Vince is just like, but Biden says she was. That's the reason he picked her. He said it. What do you want? Like, I have...
It's funny how leftists have selective amnesia to what parts of what Biden says are true and which ones aren't.
As soon as he points out, though, they're then defending diversity tokenism. It's like, you just said it wasn't happening. This is painful. But here's Vince's YouTube channel. Do go and subscribe, because he probably deserves it. He's a good guy. Seems like a very swell fella. And that's that. And Vince, if you're watching, great job, mate, dealing with mental illness all around you. Because I actually looked into the individuals, and it turns out that all the leftists knew each other, it seems. Because Zigzag over there did an Instagram post whining. Of course, he was like, why did I even go on? It's because you lost, is why you're whining. But he tagged all the leftists, all the ones who were nodding their heads to the nonsense. And I checked into all of their accounts, and all of them are nothing burgers. Like, they've all got like these tiny TikTok accounts that are just crap. Or in Zigzag's case, he runs a company where he whines at Spotify.
Do you reckon Vice have got them in just to try and boost their reach? It seems like Vince has quite a following already, and the others don't seem quite as comparable.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it always, with Pearl and Sydney Watson, who were brought on the last one, they had something you could point to and be like, that's why they're here, because they're, you know, actually are significant people in this realm or something like that. You know, I can actually make the argument. Like, these random nobodies from the leftist movement. They're
probably just friends of people who work at Vice, aren't they?
Yeah. Although I will say, guy in the top left, his Instagram is just full of, like, gay muscle humor. But at least he has muscle, so I will give him that.
I didn't realize gay muscle humor was a thing that existed.
But it's all just hanging out with other gay muscly guys being like, ooh, look at your muscles. Like, it's stuff like that, which, you know, is not my kind of comedy, but he's the only one there on the leftist side who actually has done anything, which is grown some muscles. That is the peak of the achievements. So that's that. But otherwise, good job, Vince. If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content that's on the site, such as the premium podcast, this one on the origins of evil of feminism. If you'd like to find out what else the Lotus Eaters are putting out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.